Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. I want to seek to know God with a dedication of my mind and with a devotion of my heart and with a depth of my soul with the force of all my might. Let us know and love God and understand God's love for us so that we might share it with our neighbor, with others. In 2015, I want to grow in my knowledge of God. I want to draw closer to God and have a deeper understanding of Him and His will for me and for this church. God moves me in a direction because He wants to lead this church in a direction. It's not that I'm anybody in particular, but He has placed me here as a pastor. And so when God moves me to do something, it is because He wants this church to do something. Amen, that's right. He wants me to lead you as a people. And I want to be more like Christ than I've ever been before. I want to get a fresh start with God and seek to live day by day in the fullness of God's Spirit. Instead of planning my whole future and pursuing that direction, I want to live day by day, recognizing I'm dependent every day on God and His will. I can't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth. And if we live in the fullness of God's Spirit, it will be revealed by our character daily living being the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I wonder how we're living now. Is our life characterized by those things, or is it characterized by pride or self-will, or are some living in hidden sin? I want to know God more. I know also that will not please everyone. Some are satisfied as they are. And they do not want change. They do not want to be told that they need to do more or give up something in their lives. I want to get more like-minded with God if it doesn't please everybody. I jumped off a cliff 35 years ago. And I said, Lord, I'm here for You, and I want to do whatever You want me to do. I want to go where You want me to go, say what You want me to say, be what You want me to be, do what You want me to do. And along the way, I've been sidetracked from time to time. Along the way, I have not guarded my heart as I should have, and I've allowed my heart to wander into areas that certainly were probably not God's will for my life. And I asked the Lord publicly before you this morning to give me a fresh start, a cleansing by His precious blood. And I want to seek His face. Turn with me in the Psalms, if you would, in Psalm 42. Look at two Psalms, chapter 42 and chapter 63. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? In the book of Jeremiah, they were rebuked because nobody was saying, "Where is God?" The prophets and the pastors and the elders, nobody was seeking God. Nobody was saying, "Why are we without God?" Nobody was saying, "Why don't we have the blessings of God and the power of God and the rewards of God? Why are we in the state we're in? Because we've worshipped idols and we've joined with other nations and trying to be like them instead of like God." Nobody was saying that, and so it was a rebuke. And here the psalmist is saying, "I'm crying out to say, where is God?" In Psalm 63, verse 1, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." The psalmist desired God. He desired a closeness to God, like a deer would drive itself to find water. He said, "My soul is thirsty for God," like that. To know Him, to have Him in my life. In Exodus 33, we saw Moses had a desire to know God. He had a desire to know God greater than he did, and he wanted to see the glory of God. He said, "Show me thy way that I may know thee." And Moses was concerned, as God had called him to lead the people, that these people would be God's people. He said, "Show me thy glory." He was saying, "God, don't hide from me, please. Don't let my sin keep me from approaching you. I want to know you in a greater way, a deeper way. I want to see you." And God said, "You can't see me, but I will show you a little of my glory. I'd like to have a little of God's glory. I know I'm unworthy. But the blood of Christ makes us clean and acceptable in the sight of God and grants us access unto God." Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that he had a desire to know God in a greater way. I want you to look at that if you would. Our text is coming from there today. Chapter 3 of Philippians, and it begins with verse 7. I won't read all these verses all the way down through chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul said, "I've left my past behind. I count everything I've given up as dung, as refuse." He said, "I am pursuing to know Christ in a greater way in the power of the resurrection." And he says, "Not as though," verse 12, "I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." Let those who have come to spiritual maturity have the same mind. Let those who've come to spiritual maturity live by the same rule, by the same standard. And let us follow God. And if we do, God will reveal to us if there's anything that we are amiss about. If there's anything we're not like-minded about. If we're not living by the same rule. Now, Paul had a calling from God to reveal Christ to his people and to the Gentile nations of the world. That's my first point to you today. This call of Paul required a separation from his loved ones and his home and from material things and from his past life. We need to have that attitude if we're going to draw closer to God. God will not call everybody here to leave your home and your family and go to a mission field and all that sort of thing. That's not going to be God's will for everybody here. But the attitude that we should have is the same attitude that Paul had, that we are willing to do whatever God asks of us. And that means we have to hold on to the things of this earth with loose hands. Because God may ask us to draw closer to Him, and to do that we may have to give up something that is taking the time that we need to spend with God. We dedicate ourselves to a point that we have this same attitude that Paul had, that we do what God wants us to do. Paul didn't grieve over anything he'd given up for Christ. We should look, first of all, at any sins of the past that God has delivered us from. We ought to burn the bridge back to that way of life. We should make sure we are not tempted to go back to the pleasures of sin from our past. God saved us from that, and we are to be dead to sin, the Bible says us, crucified with Christ, and now Christ living in us, the life of sin of the past is something that should be gone. We've been delivered from it. I had a friend who had a Harley Davidson motorcycle, chopper, painted all up. He rode with the Hell's Angels. He got saved, he got in church, he was singing a choir right back here. He asked me one day about that motorcycle. I said, "Brother, there's nothing wrong with a motorcycle in itself. It's an intangible object. But if you can't live for Christ because of that motorcycle, then get rid of the motorcycle." A few years later, he was back riding with the Hell's Angels. His wife told him, "You can't do that and us still be married. You can't even be around your grandchildren if you're going to be a part of that Hell's Angels organization." He was convicted. He stepped away from it. A few weeks later, several members of the Hell's Angels that he was in the club with were arrested and put in prison. If he'd still been in it, he would have been right there with them, and he'd be in jail today. But for him, owning that motorcycle was a temptation he couldn't resist, he couldn't turn away from. That he let that motorcycle get him out of church and away from God and away from spiritual things, and almost destroyed his life as a result of it. He's not the only person that's had those kind of temptations to go back to something, to allow something of the past to draw us away from Christ and our walk with Him. Paul said, "I look back on everything I've given up as if it's dung, as if it's refuse. I have no longing for it. I gave it up for Christ, and I count it unworthy to be named with the blessings of the Lord." Secondly, he gave up material things. Twice my family and I have given up our home and material things to go to Bible college and that sort of thing, start a church here. It was a sacrifice I didn't mind making at all, but I usually did not think about the fact that I was asking my wife and my children to make those sacrifices also. They didn't have a calling from God in their life. They weren't called to go to Bible college. They weren't called to be in the ministry. They weren't called to the mission field. But they were called to be my family and to have to follow me. And that meant they sacrificed just like I did. Sometimes that was a little bit of a problem. Sometimes they wanted things that we could not supply. Sometimes they wanted to be like other kids, just like Israel wanted to be like other nations. And usually that's a negative thing. God always supplied our needs. We didn't go hungry. We didn't do without. We thought we were going to a time or two. And in the 11th hour, the Lord came through, you know, as He always does. Many who have entered the ministry or gone to the mission field have sacrificed far more than I ever have. The point is the attitude to be willing. God probably won't call you to do that, but you need to have the attitude. I had a missionary friend who went through Bible college with me, came to this church and preached. He was going to Australia. He went to Australia as a missionary to plant churches, and after about 2 years, he resigned the ministry and got out of the ministry because his children couldn't handle living in Australia where they didn't have color television and American TV. And kids made fun of them at school because of the way they talked, and they were foreigners, they were Yanks, you know. They couldn't fit in with the culture. And so they resigned because their children weren't willing to make any sacrifices that the parents were willing to make. All of us who are serving God and growing in a relationship with the Lord are called to leave some things behind. Paul left behind many things, including some of the pleasures of this world. And if you're going to know God in a greater way, a deeper way, a closer way, you'll have to give up some things. Paul's attitude was that it meant nothing that he gave them up. He also gave up his past religion. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees of the strictest sect. He had titles. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel and was trained, a great doctor of the law. Paul was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He was known. He was a leader in his religion, and he gave all that up. His titles and everything, his past career. Because he learned that to have a relationship with God is not a matter of rituals and laws and church membership and baptism and good works, but a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You can't grow in laws, but you can grow in a relationship. We're saved by grace through faith, and God has given us a relationship with Him as His child. And our behavior should be an evident result of our relationship with God. Am I a child of God? Well, God expects certain things of His children. And I don't want to do disrespect to His name in any way. Secondly, Paul's walk with God led him into a greater knowledge of Christ. Verse number 10, he said he wanted to know Him in the power of the resurrection. Now, knowing the power of God is available to us all. But it's something that must be desired. It's something that must be sought after. It's something that must be separated unto. And God won't use a dirty vessel. This is an opportunity for us to seek after God as the psalmist did. To seek to know God's glory as Moses did, to comprehend the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge as Paul did. Now, this is not an automatic, continuous attainment that we've come to because we've been saved by God's grace. Glory to God. But we don't continue to be the spiritual person who's growing close to God automatically. But it is an automatic, continuous opportunity for us to pursue as the children of God. We can pursue knowing God greater, deeper, closer. You've heard preachers say we're as close to God as we want to be. And there's probably truth to that. That it takes an attitude, a desire, a willingness on our part to grow closer to God. And too often the flesh and the world we live in sidetrack us, tempt us, cause us to fail. And when we fail, some people feel so unworthy they quit trying. The devil gets on their back and tells them they can't live up to it, they can't serve Christ, they're unworthy, they've sinned, and reminds them of their sin all the time. Listen, God does not do that to you. God will cleanse you of your sin, and when God cleanses you, He washes it away, never to recall it against you again. It's the devil that beats you up with your past and your failures and what's gone wrong in your life. He's very effective at causing people not to try to seek God because they failed in the past. 1 John 1:6, our walk with God is our opportunity for fellowship with God. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. God's Son cleanses us of all unrighteousness. It's our opportunity for growth and for knowledge and closeness to God. To get a fresh start. James said, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. I want us to look at that in James chapter 4, if you would. Just after the book of Hebrews, James, chapter 4. Verse 5, he talks about the Holy Spirit within us desiring more of God. Verse 6, he said, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another. The context to submit ourselves to God and humble ourselves and desire to draw close to God, resist the devil and all of his temptations. And those temptations are many, and they are varied. It isn't always the depth of evil, wickedness, and sin that tempts people to be ineffective for God. It can simply be a pleasurable thing that trips up many people in their growth with the Lord. Keeps them out of a place of service with God because they're focused on a pleasure of this world that is enjoyable to them, that in itself is probably not wrong. But if it keeps us from God and keeps us from growing and keeps us from serving, then it's become an idol that's in place of our relationship with God. Our attitude, our pride, our self-will, our unwillingness to be obedient to God. There's a study that came out in a book about a year ago or less. Tom Rainer's head of Southern Baptist bookstores. He's able to do a lot of studies and tie into a lot of these statistical studies. He said the dominant theme of departing church members is that their needs were not met. They have an entitlement mentality that church is all about them rather than a servant mentality that they have responsibilities to meet the needs of the body of Christ. Our nation has a mentality today of entitlement like it has never had before. We got more people drawing welfare and government assistance. Some of them need it desperately because of disabilities and whatever else, but a lot of those people are just double dipping, as the old expression was. They're illegal, they're unethical, they're immoral, lying about their income, working a job under the table, getting paid, and then drawing welfare because they don't have a registered income. I know a woman that worked at the nursing home that she's got 6 children by the same man she lives with. They draw welfare and food stamps and all that. They're not married, so they don't register his income on her taxes and those kind of things. Who's paying for that? You and me. Everybody pays taxes. You look at the formula that James gave here in chapter 4, verse 7 through 17. That to be clean and have holy hands and a pure heart before God is required to draw nigh to God. To grieve over sin and the loss of spiritual power. I think a lot of the times we have excused ourselves in this manner. Hang on with me now. I'm not trying to rebuke you. I'm trying to reveal something to you. We make excuses for why we don't do more for God. We make excuses for why we're not as close to God as we ought to be. We make excuses for why we're not bearing fruit for God. And we can come up with some good ones. In verse 10, he said, humble yourself before God. And he reminds us not to judge our brother. One of the problems we have is we compare ourselves to the wrong people. We compare ourselves to other people, we feel pretty good about ourselves. God wants us to compare to Christ. He's the rule that we're to compare to. He's the standard that we'll be judged by. When we do that, we recognize we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That there's none righteous, no, not one. But those who are saved, God has cleansed us and put us on the road to spiritual maturity and given us every opportunity we need for growth. We have the church, we have the Bible, we have spiritual mentors, we have everything we need for spiritual growth and to know God in a greater way. But presumption and self-will, we fail to see our total dependence upon God to do anything. We map out our life from cradle to the grave without any consideration, what is God's will for my life? We have to draw close to God and see Him as our Father, and that we have a desire to do His will. We run everything by Him. Let me run this by the Lord first in prayer before I make a decision. Day by day. Because if we aren't careful, what will happen? We'll be rejoicing over the wrong things. We'll be enjoying and rejoicing over the things that are keeping us from serving God, that are keeping us from doing what God would have us to do. They give out trophies in every sport in the world for a lot of people who are putting those things ahead of God. Let us know to do what is right. Because the Scripture says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I don't like that verse of Scripture. I'd like to be like the king. Take a penknife, cut that verse out. Be all right, God, me if you leave that out. Why? Because it convicts me. The more you know about what is right to do and you don't do it, the more responsible you are to God for not doing what you ought to do. To draw close to God and obtain more of His power and to have communion with Him, our walk with Him must be on His road and not one we've made up ourselves. Now, God has given every one of us an opportunity for a fresh start all the time. Confess our sin to God, seek God, and start afresh and anew in pursuit of Him. The problem is we confess our sin to God and seek His help to be cleansed, but then we go right back on the road we were on. The road of opportunity to know Him better and deeper and greater means that we have to have a holy dissatisfaction with who we are and how we are and where we are, so that we will pursue the change that is necessary. Thirdly, Paul knew that he had not arrived at where he wanted to be spiritually like Christ. But he was pursuing after. We're all still a work of grace, and God's still working on all of us. We're all at different levels of spiritual growth, and that's not wrong. God can work on somebody who just got saved and don't know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament as much as He can somebody who's been saved for 50 years and can quote hundreds of verses of Scripture. But Paul knew he had arrived at a level of spiritual maturity where he was not in the past. And for those who have arrived at that spiritual maturity, he said, let us walk by the same rule or standard. Let us mind the same thing. Let us be like-minded. Here's where we show if we're growing closer to God, if we know Him in a greater and deeper way. Romans said that we walk in newness of life. Scripture says that we walk by faith and not by sight. That we walk a spiritual walk that is worthy of our calling. That we walk a consistent walk in Ephesians 4:1. That we walk the walk of love in Ephesians 5:2 and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. God has loved us with a very great love, my friends. And I fail constantly at loving anybody with the kind of love that He has loved me with. We walk in caution. See then, you walk circumspectly and not as fools but as wise. Ephesians 5:15. Circumspectly means accurately and carefully. I was a gung-ho Marine in Vietnam. I was just turned 18 years old when I was sent to Vietnam. And so I would volunteer to do things. They said, somebody told me, don't ever volunteer for anything in the military. Well, that goes back to boot camp. They come in there and say, we need some volunteers to drive a truck. Three or four men would jump up, and what it meant was a wheelbarrow, you know. So they tell you don't volunteer stuff. I was gung-ho. I volunteered for everything. We need somebody to walk point today. I'll do it. So because of that, I was often called on to walk point in the jungle. And when you walk point in a jungle filled with booby traps and the enemy, you got to watch every step you take. If you step wrong, you could lead the people behind you into landmines or booby traps. If you take the wrong trail, you could lead them into an ambush. And you see, the enemy is wise enough, they won't shoot the lead point man. They'll let him get past so they can get a big body of men at one time. By God's grace, I never led men into an ambush. I never led them across booby traps where they were wounded. Every booby trap I came across, I found. Every enemy we spotted, I never had that problem as a point man. But I'll tell you, that is a stressful thing that will pop you out in sweat beads like you've never seen in your life. When you take a step and a little limb cracks under your feet and you just know you've stepped on a mortar or something that's about to blow you to kingdom come. Spiritually, we must walk circumspectly. We must walk accurately and carefully in this world because there are pitfalls and booby traps and things that will destroy you at every turn. So we need God day by day to guide us so we don't make mistakes. You parents are leading not only yourselves but your family. And God is holding you responsible for how you lead them and the steps you take. So we walk with caution. We walk with illumination. Walk in the light as He is in the light. If we stay out of the darkness, we won't stumble and fall nearly so much. Stay in the light with God and follow His path. And then last of all, we walk Christ-like. 1 John 2:6, He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. Are we being obedient? Are we walking the walk? Are we living the life to grow closer to God, or are we satisfied where we are? Have we given up on a pursuit of growing any closer? Have we decided that we know more than God does, or we know more than the Bible, or we know more than the preacher, and we're going to live life our own way? Well, if you do that, God bless you. I love you. I hope you don't fail. I hope you don't fall in a trap. I hope you aren't led astray. But don't lead others astray. And by doing that, you are probably separating yourself into an isolation that you're not serving God and helping others the way you could if you'd get involved in serving the Lord and growing close to Christ and mentoring other people who need it so desperately. You've arrived at some spiritual maturity. You're the ideal person to help others arrive at spiritual maturity also. And if you choose not to do that, somebody's going to fall along the way. You could have helped. I want us to have the desire to grow closer to God, to know more of God, to understand His will in a greater way, and to walk with God day by day, depending on Him. I think the result of that will be spiritual growth and progress and a greater accomplishment of ministry than we've ever seen before. Let's stand together. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word. I thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here today. Bless them. Encourage them, I pray. May Your Holy Spirit have liberty now in this next moment as we sing.
Help us to search our hearts and seek afresh and new with you, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.